Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Man, the bass and pickerel have just been crazy. And ditto some of those channel cats. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 8th and 9th. Taking a break from chasing the flounder. Boy, they had the case of the lockjaw there for a while with the chilling of the bay waters with the south winds, southeast winds, whatever. Freshwater scene has just been fantastic. Hope to the week after next week, I'm going to be running around Cape May County like a madman. Get out of the southwest Jersey and get in on some of these snakeheads, man. These things are, they're just a treacherous fish. Treacherous fish. Stripers are still around. Sea bass season is going to be closed on the 19th. It's become a pick now, but hey, man, everyone is loving these ling, and big porgies are showing. Yeah, the porgy season is open, but what's coming up very soon, it's going to be tuna time. Our annual tuna show is coming up with Captain Alan Lee, Mooshin Sport Fishing. So get it ready, man. Get ready with the bluefin, the giants, that's closed. You got the schoolies around, the teenagers, they're around, and the yellowfin are moving in. That good water is coming up. It's going to be tuna time pretty soon. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, people, don't be afraid of June. What do you mean, Tom P., don't be afraid of June? Well, I'm talking about right now. Right now, it's bordering. It's getting there. It's pulsing. You can feel it. You can feel it out there. The impending tuna bite. Okay, we had some big bluefin earlier that the giants had shut down. Just the other day, there were, how many, I guess they couldn't even begin to imagine the numbers. Bluefin being sighted 5 to 6 miles off of Shark River, up there around Belmar, Jason Bunker or whatever. Tuna season's about to hit. Now, way back when I used to be fairly active with this, it was always the 4th of July weekend was the opening day, the opening of the canyon season. As it was now, years past, we're finding mid-range bites, earlier canyon bites, some later canyon bites. This year seems to be, well, possibilities for June are there. And the Don't Be Afraid of June was proffered to me by Captain Alan Lee. He is a technical advisor for the U.S. delegation to ICAT, also runs Mooshin Sport Fishing, gives seminars. You've seen him at the George Poveromo Saltwater Sportsman Seminar. He's an author, very all-around cool captain, hell of a fisherman. He's joining us on Rack and Fin. I want to get an early jump on the tuna season. Prospectus is there. Yellowfin, bluefin, who knows with the longfin. Last year, July, early longfin. Wow, waiting for September. Not a longfin was found. Big eyes were up and down. The yellowfin were not like that triple rags bite a few years ago. And the following year at the Atlantic Princess, they were on. You hunt them down, you'll find them. Doing it now, you won't have the crowds. This is the hunt time for the serious tuna angler. Sorry, Commodore Lee, I just get too excited talking tuna and talking to you. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Tom, how are you? I'm doing well.
Hey, listen, don't be afraid of June, Lee. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I've heard that before. Absolutely. It's the time.
Captain, the time now, it's right. It's just started. It's percolating. I did reports for the fishermen last week. Every shop I talked to, Tommy P., it's about to pop. Could be a few days, could be a week. Alan, but when it happens, I mean, it could be a Mount Vesuvius, or it could be like sniper action here and there until all that good water moves in. It all hinders on the good water, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, we're talking sort of about two different top tuna populations. The one is the bluefin, which, as right. You pointed out, we were treated to a nice, brief opening for giant bluefin in April. I'm sure many of your viewers, listeners, saw some of those giants that came in April. Some beautiful fish, 500-600-pound bluefin that are caught relatively close to shore. I mean, oftentimes, when people can call you on their cell phone, you know they're still close.
That's it, man. Shout out to Eric. Just one guy I know up in the Weirton area, Eric. He came in, he looked like he got run over. So what's that? They got into the dock, Cap. They got in, arrived at the, and the feds are waiting. Everything was fine. Everything was cool, legal. 20 minutes before closing. And at midnight, that was a 650-pound fish. Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah. A lot of tuna fish. So there's the bluefin. So we had that nice run that started actually in April. A lot of those giant bluefin, you know, we're talking about, you know, again, 400, 600, 800-pound fish have moved on. And there is another bunch of smaller bluefin. You know, we call them schoolies and mediums, you know, fish that are, you know, anywhere from, say, 40 to 200, 250 pounds. You know, move through the area around this time of year, June. In fact, there's a, you know, big tuna bluefin tournament going on right now out of Manasquan. So I know there's a lot of boats. I think there's 74 boats that were signed up for that. And, you know, they've been out looking for them too. So, and then the other population of tuna that we're looking at for June coming in is the, yellowfin.
They're
more of an offshore out in the canyons. Mm-hmm. And, that is definitely going to pop very, very soon. We've seen the, warm 72, 74 degree blue water that comes off the Gulf Stream. That's been creeping up from, you know, offshore and from the south. You know, these yellowfin, you know, have been down by Hatteras, Outer Banks, you know, through much of April and May. And that water is now curving into our canyons. And it really is just going to be any day, any week now that's going to really light up.
Now, Kevin, all years you were fishing out of Cape May. Okay, when did it just all of a sudden the water was there and a tuna were there, or was it a trickle in effect?
No, you know, usually you'll see, you know, the water comes in almost as a wall of warm blue water, and those fish are there. It's really an issue of having it in range for us. And I'm usually based in Manasquan most of the year, but you know, the distance down to the southern canyons, things like Washington, Baltimore,
yeah.
Wellington canyons. I used to bring the boat down to Cape May, fish out a beautiful Canyon Club Marina. And, you know, from there, it was only about 65 miles to Wilmington and Baltimore. And
bada bing, you're there.
July were some incredible months. Yeah, mm-hmm. Incredible fishing out of there.
Well, Captain, will bluefin be out in the canyons now?
Well, we do get some bluefin, some mix of bluefin out there, especially this time of year. Sometimes those giants that we were talking about, those giant bluefin, some of them end up out in the canyons. You know, anglers, you know, all tuna anglers need to monitor what's legal in terms of keeping right now. And, you know, right now, giant bluefin are out of season. So if someone tangles, well, they can certainly tangle with a giant bluefin, but you can't retain them right now.
No, so. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Cap, the recreational boats for the bluefin, it's two at 27 to 47 inches and one medium 47 to under 73, correct?
Correct. That's for a recreational boat. Like that is a non-charter boat. That's mm-hmm. right.
And for the charters, what's the dealio for the charters?
For charter boats, for uninspected charter boats, like this is what most people call a six-pack boat. It's going to be three schoolies. Those are the 27 to 47s mm-hmm. and one medium. So that's a 47 to under 40. Oh, I'm sorry, 47 to under 73. And that limit is per boat, not per person. That's for the whole boat. Whether you have one angler on the boat or you have six anglers on the boat, it's the same limit.
Okay. Okay, the term, shout out to Jimmy Donofrio, former executive director of Recreational Fishing Alliance. He described, I guess, that medium range, or maybe a little bit, he called him the teen. He used to be a hardcore tuna guy. And yeah. I'm sure you know Jimmy. He used to call refer to them as the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So and is that medium size?
Yeah, you could call it that. I mean, they definitely fight like a mean teenager, you know? So, Yeah. And when you get one of those 150-pound, 200-pound bluefins, there's no doubt you're in for a battle.
I was on my knees. Alan, mommy, give me that rod. I just gave it up. But that was a lot of fun. Well, Cap, now water and what else? What's the other critical factor, people? The bait. Alan, what is moving in with that? I know right now the bottom is paved, according to the sea bass guys. And some of the tuna guys, the bottom is paved with sand eels.
Yep. Bait is key.
in that yeah. warm water, moving in, what, you know, and they sell, I don't know, tons of ballyhoo and butter for sardines, whatever. What is the key bait early in the season?
Yeah, so offshore in the canyons,
yeah.
Again, where it's being mainly yellowfin and big eye, so those tunas, they need that warmer water. They like that 70, 72-degree water. Anything cooler than that, they don't feel comfortable. And again, we're talking about yellowfin and big eye.
Okay,
they don't
right.
really feel comfortable when it's under 70 degrees usually. So they like that. They like the nice blue water. So, you know, think of the difference for us as humans, the difference between, you know, being in a nice, you know, clean air versus being in a smoke-filled room. You know, it's
sure
you like to be where it's nice and clean and low humidity and things like that. And, you know, that's what a fish's world is when they got 72-degree clean blue water. But like you said, there's bait out there. You know, all kinds of plankton, which then brings other kinds of life, whether it's squid.
I was just going to ask you about the calamata. Remember last year and the year before? I mean, the calamata, the tuna on the calamata was crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially the last couple of years, we've been really treated with an absolutely crazy inshore bite of medium-sized bluefin, you know, out
right.
Basically, you know, a little bit east of Barnegat up to, you know, basically between Barnegat and Manasquan Inlets, about 8, 10, 12 miles off, there's some huge bodies of squid, and those held that squid. I mean, gosh, I mean, we could have made a day just fishing for those squid, but, you know, along with those squid were 150 to 220-pound bluefin that, you know, guys were catching pretty much every day.
And now, so they follow the bait and the again with the squid there, and then what else? What's another key bait out there in the canyons early? Again, the warm yeah. water, is it just who knows? Is it like a is it a smorgasbord?
Oh yeah, it's like an aquarium out there. You get all kinds of life, mackerels, herrings,
right?
Squid's always a big one. You know, sand eels tend to be more of an inshore type
right.
of bait. And you know, the return of the sand eels on the inshore grounds is, I mean, just been a wonderful thing, not just for tuna, but of course other species, bluefish, stripers, fluke, sea bass. I mean, everything eats sand eels. I mean, who doesn't eat sand eels in the fish world? But you know, seeing those sand eels come back in the last say 10, 12 years has really helped the inshore bluefin fishery bounce back. And when I say inshore, you know, we're talking sometimes 3 miles,
right,
8 miles off the beach.
One guy was telling me they were fighting it too. Now they could see the people walking their dogs on the beach.
Yeah.
That's how close. We're speaking with Captain Alan Lee, technical advisor for the U.S. delegation. ICAT runs Mushin Sport Fish up there at Point Pleasant, seminars, author, et cetera, et cetera. He does it all. It's our annual, it's a little early, a couple of weeks early, but it's our act because it's about to pop. Bees out to pop. Early season tuna. Hang in, grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be back with Captain Allen talking tactics. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. The federal trial is now underway in Delaware for Hunter Biden's alleged illegal possession of a .38 revolver. It's worth watching how this trial plays into discussions on gun control, especially since President Biden has taken steps to further restrict firearms transfers. Hunter Biden is accused of lying on the federal form used to initiate a background check when purchasing a firearm. The form shows he checked no to questions about using controlled substances, which would preclude a person from legally obtaining the gun. But the younger Biden admitted in his book to when and how often he used crack cocaine, and the photos recovered from his laptop also depict his usage during the same time frame. It may also be worth noting that Delaware, the Biden family home state, requires no permits or licenses to buy or openly carry a handgun. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's not too late to plan that ultimate summer vacation. Spirit Airlines has nonstop flights to Myrtle Beach and your favorite Florida destinations. If your family is looking for more adventure, Spirit Airlines has one-stop connections to the Caribbean, Latin America, and Mexico. Creating family memories is just a ticket to making this a summer to remember. What are you waiting for? Take the stress of the travel and book your next adventure from Atlantic City International Airport and Spirit Airlines. Go to acairport.com. Again, that's acairport.com.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
What do you do about car trouble? Call Dad? Why not give him a break this Father's Day and visit AutoZone instead? If it's a battery problem, AutoZone has free battery testing and charging and battery options as low as $89.99. And right now, you can save at the AutoZone Father's Day sale through June 16th. Give Dad a break and maybe get him something too at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This is South Jersey's talk station. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside. Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 8th and 9th. Tuna time. Let's talk some tactics now. Early season. Want to slide into basically the canyon stuff. The bluefin, we'll get into a little bit. But the yellowfin is, to me, the driving force participation-wise and sheer dollar spent-wise. And from, you know, me, my consumptive proclivities eating-wise. Although longfin, man, longfin, sometimes they find a way into my little gastrointestinal heart. On the line right now is Captain Alan Lee, technical advisor for the U.S. delegation, ICAT, very experienced, beyond experienced, tuna angler. He gives seminars of George Poveromo's saltwater sport. Whatever. He's Alan's all over. I'm sure you've read his stuff and heard him speak. Sorry, Cap. I'm getting sidetracked. Cap, for the early yellowfin bite, what are we looking at?
So early in the season, the yellowfin tend to be more on the move. Later in the season, you know, more like August, September, you'll see the yellowfin sort of settle more into one area. Early
right.
season, the warm water tends to move around a little bit more. Because of that, the tuna, the yellowfin that are in that warm water move around a little bit more. Tends to be more of a trolling operation. I know a lot of our charter clients sometimes say to me, we don't want to troll. We don't want to troll. But you know what? To me, at the end of the day, if I got 18 yellowfin in the box for you, it's not such a bad thing, you know?
Yeah.
Very
well put.
It can be a really nice, relaxing day. You know, trolling can sometimes be, 80% watching lures and 20% absolute chaos, with multiple hookups. You know, on our boat, we troll 14 lines. And
you
got 14 baits out there, 14 lures, 14 baits out there. And as we know, tuna travel in school. So you're usually not getting a single isolated hit. You're getting, 3, 4, 6, 7 on at a time. And you talk about absolute chaos. 6 anglers trying to fight 7 hookups. It's a lot of fun watching that and going through that. So, but it tends to be more of a trolling operation. It helps us cover some ground. Once we find them, then we can consider, if the fish are schooled up, if they're holding tight, then we could switch over to something like jigging or popping at that point, and that's a whole lot of fun throwing poppers to the 60, 80 pound yellowfin and watching them just come up and explode on them on top of the water.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me digress for one thing. The bodies of water, again, the good water, the great water coming in. How much is this measured in like hundreds and hundreds of pockets, hundreds of yards or half mile, mile? How big are these pockets of good water where you can, and we've been out there where you see, Jesus Christ, man, there's 200 boats out here. You know what I mean? How?
Uh-huh.
I realize they vary, but what's the average?
It's miles usually, but there's going to be better parts of it than others. So, I mean, if you think it, if you could visualize like a whole wall of warm water that stretches, you know, let's say from Virginia up to New, you know, off Long Island, but there's any critical parts of that warm water that's hopefully a very
that's
clean
what I meant,
blue
yeah.
water.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's going to be crossing that, if you could picture that edge, let's say where it's 72 degrees on one side and say 68 degrees on the other side of this imaginary wall. Well, it's not imaginary, it's real, but, mm-hmm. you know, a visual wall. Hopefully that edge is crossing over some structure. And what's that kind of structure? It could be things like the canyon walls, because you take a canyon like the Hudson, just as for discussion, or the Wilmington, you know, it's got certain contours on it where,
right.
you know, it goes from a flat on the edge of maybe 250, 300 feet, and it drops real quickly down to 600, and then, you know, another mile into the depths of the canyon, it might be 6,000 feet. And what happens when you get those sort of really sharp walls of the canyon, that when water currents hit those canyon walls, that you get these upwellings. And that's where you get all the rich nutrients and
right.
things like that, which, you know, helps with plankton and all that other stuff. And plankton brings other bait, and bait brings big fish. So that's sort of the strategy
okay.
with it, you know. So we're not just looking for the warm, clean water. We're looking for hopefully where it intersects structure, because that's going to help sort of make a little almost like natural disturbance where bait and things like that. It's almost like, you know, for trout fishermen, you know, there's a stretch of stream, but and I'm not the greatest trout fisherman, so I'm going to sort of make this up, you know, but as a trout fisherman, you might look for like a little a big stone in the river, or a tree log that's laying in the river, because that creates a little upwelling and things like that.
And a break. Absolutely correct. Come on, Alan. I know you are the brown trout master. Don't lie.
I might be the brown trout master. I'm not talking. I don't know. We're talking about fish though. So.
Okay, Cap, let's get back to the trolling. You know, that's trolling is a pretty ubiquitous term. Bar, splash bars, spreader bars, color, speeds, and trolling. Trolling is boring to me, Al, because I'm not good at it. So I can appreciate it's an art form. Knowing it's engineering. Knowing it's not just pulling lures. When to turn, when this, working the contours, et cetera, varying the speeds, 6 knots, 5.5, 4.3, whatever, predicated on what you're using. Early in the season, because I know it starts, it's
now.
Going to be so pretty. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking the spreader bar thing. Is that key early in the season?
I say it's key any time of the season. You know, when you're right, trolling is sort of a science. And, you know, one of the things that I try to do on our boat to keep it interesting, because I get that, you know, sometimes a charter or six, they step on the boat, you know, they want to be involved. You know, some of our charters want to be more or less involved. Most of them want to be as involved as they can. And we encourage them to take part in it. And we try to explain to them some of the science and the technology that goes behind it. What same kind of things you were talking about, you know, lure type, color type, trolling mm-hmm. speed, patterns, things like that. Because all of that at the end of the day makes for either, you know, a better or, you know, or just an okay day, you know. And we like people to be involved in that. So, but you're asking about spreader bars. Absolutely. Spreader bars, you know, they've been around for a number of decades. You know, our colleagues over at the Real Seat in Brielle were some of the originators of...
Dave R. Biteman, God rest his soul.
Absolutely. We're, you know, some creators of the modern spreader bars. But, you know, since then, the technology's really taken off. And, you know, a couple of the major manufacturers now, Chatter Lures and Sterling Tackle, just right. to mention a couple of them. You know, not only have they taken what was a spreader bar, you know, for those that are unfamiliar with spreader bar, it's basically a length of a stiff wire, maybe about, you know, there's a smaller ones, usually about 18, 19 inches
right.
wide. A wider one's usually 36 or 42 inches wide. And off of this wire are, we'll call them branch lines,
mm-hmm.
With whether it's squid or little plastic green machines. And then there's this illusion of it's a small bait school, because if you get about 12 or 15 of these baits, these artificial baits on there, and then Then the last trailing lure is what we oftentimes call the stinger lure, which is the usually the same type of lure as the other 12 or 15 on the spreader bar, but it has a hook in it. The theory is that last trailing bait is the one that tuna are most likely going to hit, because right. That's sort of, you know, in the tuna apex predator world, you know, that trailing bait, that's the weakling, you know, that's the kid in the playground that, you know, sort of trails behind. So right. Tuna are going to pick on that one, and they're going to hit that one. But, you know, spreader bars are absolutely incredible tools. They've really helped up our game in terms of tuna fishing. They create the appearance of a miniature school of bait. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on a person's, the size of their boat, how many lines they're going to troll. You know, many boats try to troll, you know, many pairs of spreader bars. So, you know, for us, we troll 14 lines off our boat. Usually at a minimum, I have three pairs of spreader bars out there. So, you know, we usually have about at least six of them. And they right. create really nice illusions of bait. And we find that they tend to get hit very often. In the last, I guess, maybe 8 or 10 years, you know, it's been a lot of adaptation of spreader bars where they put plastic keels on them. And these plastic keels help drive the spreader bar, and you know, for those I guess like a lot of wildlife fishermen use those planer boards and things like that. You know, what this keel does is it helps drive the whole spreader bar out to the side of the path of the boat. So you're pulling it behind, this keel brings it either the port side or starboard side, and the gets it out into that nice clean water that's as opposed to the bubbly water that's
in
right
the wash, right?
Exactly. So these and different manufacturers have different names for them, you know, wide tracker, side tracker, but they these things have been absolutely killers. I mean, when we first started trolling wide trackers, when they first came out, the story I tell is we trolled one pair. I said, let's try one pair. So we had two of them out of 14 lines behind our boat. We're trolling two wide trackers out of our 14 baits. And the first few trips, I'd say we caught 60% of our tuna on those wide trackers. But keep in mind, that's only two out of the 14 baits we had back there. Yet they accounted for, you know, roughly 60% of our catch those days. And you know, that kind of thing has continued. So, you know, we absolutely believe in not only the spreader bars, but especially these side tracker, wide tracker type lures. They've been absolutely key.
And
especially for smaller boat guys who don't have outriggers. They're
ideal.
It
changed the game. Gab, I was in a shop a week or so ago, and getting all the tuna stuff ready down by the Cape. And I'm looking, I said, Mary, Mother of God, Captain Al, the color choices. It's not just like zucchini and chartreuse or this. I mean, there's myriad colors. It's crazy. Picking the right colors is just like, hey, let's put, the mud against the wall, something sticks. Putting everything out there and then keying on what hits and then going with that. That was crazy. You can spend $1 million. $1 million.
There are a lot of colors, and people can really go crazy buying this color, that color, the other color, and then really running up their credit card bills. but, you know, I try to be realistic about it because, you know, for me, I'm in the business of catching fish for my customers. You know, while I'm in the, as you know, I pro staff for Shimano and mm-hmm. other manufacturers. While I'm in the tackle business also, I also am a firm believer. At the end of the day, I want people to catch fish because,
right.
you know, that's, you know, when we really boil it down, that's what people get on a boat for. So I like to be realistic about how crazy people need to get in terms of buying this color, that color, the other color. I sort of boil it down into maybe two definite color patterns and maybe like a third as an alternate.
Okay.
Because I realize money doesn't grow on trees for any of us. I mean, well, maybe it does for some people, but it doesn't for me. So, you know, and while I'm incredibly blessed getting supplied by tackle manufacturers for my operation, I know, you know, mm-hmm. you know, beginning of the year, people are stocking up and they got to They got to figure out what they want to spend money on. So
exactly right, colors, yeah.
You know, I mean, one absolute color you need to have is some kind of green, maybe lime color combination, something in that family, a green lime colored lure. As you know, I know you've been around since forever in the fishing industry. You know, the green machine was our, yeah, our go-to lure back
the green machine. Yeah, 80. I remember. And yeah.
Yeah. It caught tuna, like, you know, with no abandon. So green lime is always a great one. The other color pattern that we absolutely love is some kind of purple black.
That's it. Purple. Yep.
Purple black. And you know, that's always a nice combination. And then the third sort of alternate I usually tell people is like a white or a pink, or maybe a white and pink combination, because especially when the sun gets up high, as we know with almost any kind of fishing, whether it's striped bass, largemouth bass, and also a tuna, you know, we know when you get a dark sky, or if it's, you know, you don't have much light, you want a darker lure on the surface because that gives that nice silhouette, that contrast. But a lot of times when the sun's up high, you want a lighter colored lure, because that's not going to be as harsh of a contrast. So that's when those white and pink lures really come into shine, no pun intended. So again, color combination, I'd say green lime is one combination. The other sort of a purple black. And then third is an alternate, some the white, pink, white, something like that.
There we go. Captain Al, we're up against a hard break. People, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Second time, your heart's going to explode. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Tuna time! Tuna time in Tom P's world. Be right back.
People all over the Jersey Shore have found the easiest way to stay connected to South Jersey's talk station. It's the WPG Talk Radio app. Read free, unlimited South Jersey news. Listen to your favorite talk shows. Send us breaking news tips and more. The WPG Talk Radio app is powered by Smoker's Haven. You'll find the finest selection of cigars at any of their 5 locations. Stop in and let them help you find the perfect cigar to pair with your life. SmokersHavenNJ.com.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Hunter Biden and his legal team deciding whether the first son will take the witness stand in his federal gun trial in Wilmington, Delaware.
His attorney said they would decide over the weekend whether or not to put Hunter himself on the stand.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal, the first son, has pleaded not guilty to 3 federal charges of lying on a gun application about drug use in 2018. A mass shooting reported Friday night at a pool party in Compton, California. Fox 11 in L.A. reporting one person was killed, several hurt. So far, no arrests. A major pro-Palestinian march planned for the nation's capital today. Fox's Ryan Schmelz.
The Answer Coalition says protesters will wear red and form a line around the White House to show what they believe is President Biden's failure to draw a red line with Israel.
Tens of thousands of protesters expected. The White House says Israel will always have the right to defend itself. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 85. Tonight, increasing clouds, low 60. For tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine. Breezy and very warm, high 85. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low 56. On Monday, breezy and pleasant with sun and then some clouds in the area with a high of 82. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Mano O'Tuna time. Trolls, one thing. Let's talk jigging and popping, especially the yellow and these bluefins, man. They'll kick your ass. I worked out. I've been in the gym. That's one thing. Mano O'Tuna, they can bring it to your knees. Hey, Cap, sorry about that, but you know my proclivities. I like the light stuff. I like the one-on-one. Let's go with the pop and jig. And, hey, we're going to do the chunk thing later on in the season. Is that a deal?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk jig and pop. Pop and jig. What do you got, man?
Well, you know, that's sort of such a cool way of catching tuna, where, like you said, it's one-on-one. It's you, it's the tuna. It's your job to hook the tuna. It's your job to fight the tuna. It's not like trolling where the boat does 60% of the work pulling the lures. You know, with trolling, you hook up with a fish, and honestly, at first run, it's going to wear out the tuna a little bit, and then the angler gets on when the tuna sort of, you know, worn out by 40% already.
Mm-hmm.
With jigging and popping, basically, it's mostly up and down fishing. There's a whole wide variety of different jigs, and we're working them vertically. Jigging and popping tends to be what I always think of as a concentrated activity. In other words, you don't just go out in the middle of the giant ocean and start dropping jigs and throwing poppers. You got to find them because...
Bingo.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, obviously a job of the captain and whoever's operating the boat. But if you can find them, if you can land on or around them, you see in the life, like, you know, oftentimes you look for things like the big whales, the porpoise, pilot whales, birds, tuna chicks, things like that, bait. You're seeing the signs. Hopefully you're reading them on your fish finder and things like that. It's a great opportunity to drop these jigs down, especially if the fish are down deep, or throw poppers because, you know the fish are in the area. You're seeing them. You're seeing all the signs. So instead of using a boat to troll or pull lures behind you, the thought is to, you know, cast and drop jigs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of specialized tackle that's oftentimes involved with this. You know, most modern jigging rods are, you know, about 6-foot rods or shorter rods. You know, nowadays with fishing tackle being as advanced as it is in terms of technology, the metal.
Scary, man. Scary.
It really is. I mean, I remember back in the, you know, late 70s and early 80s, I used spinning gear to try to catch tuna. And I remember people used to look at me like I had two heads, you know, but, you know, it didn't back in the day, you know, because the tackle, the reels were not what they are now, you know, I had some success with it, but nowadays with fishing reels, being what they are with the, you know, the metallurgy that goes into the gearing and the materials they use for drag, there is no problem at all landing huge tuna
on the spinner. Hey, Commodore, not to interrupt you or anything like that, and I know it's not their top end, but that, and I'm not a friend that'll come with them, but that Shimano Twin Power is freaking scary.
Oh, it's a beautiful reel.
Scary. Were you involved in some of that?
I wish I was. I am not that smart, but yeah, that's a beautiful reel. The Shimano Stella is sort of the flagship reel. But, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, I'm sure any, you know, of the viewers, the listeners who have seen those price tags, they're not cheap. They don't have, you know, for example, Shimano has the Saragossa line, which is a very affordable workhorse reel. And I know a lot of reputable charter guys, you know, use those all the time, and there's nothing wrong with them. You know, I tell people, don't let price be the reason you don't go out there. You know, find the way. If you got to, you know, get a mid-range kind of reel and rod outfit, do that. Just get out there and enjoy it. That's the important thing. You know, for guys that go out maybe, you know, 2-3 times a year, you know, you don't need a $1,300 reel. You know, you could do it just fine with a $300-$400 reel.
Yep.
But, you know, it's, you know, jigging, you know, it's up and down fishing. We're dropping these jigs down and we're working them back up, usually with sort of a, you know, like a sort of like a lift and drop, lift and drop, lift and drop.
Now, Cap, these are like the chatter lures, jigs, that type thing, nomads or whatever?
Yeah, there's a lot of different lines. And you know, just like with so much other fishing, it's matching the hatch. It's matching the hatch. If you got sand eels, that the fish are keyed in on, we're going to want to use jigs that look like sand eels. So, I mean, some of the ones that are out there, the Nomad Streaker.
Yeah.
Old Man Tackle Box has the Creature Jig.
Yep.
These are all sort of the same general design, long, skinny jigs. Most of these jigs, we're using assist hooks on the top of the jig as opposed to like a bluefish jig, where the hook is on the bottom. With tuna fishing, we're usually putting an assist hook, which is, as you know, many of your listeners know, it's a nice, sharp, strong hook on a piece of parachute cord that's tethered to the top end of the to the jig. And so we're dropping them down. But, you know, some of the other jigs, if we're fishing in more of like where we're seeing a lot of baby butterfish,
Butters, baby butters.
Baby Buddhas. You know, a lot of times, you know, there's a couple of Shimano jigs that we really like to use.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different manufacturers out there. I mean, the general message would be match the hatch.
There you go.
In terms of size, shape, weight. You know, we generally want to use as light of a jig, you know, as we can, because it gives us a bit better action as it flutters, you know, as it comes up and flutters back down. A lot of times when we're jigging, because it's sort of a lift and reel up to slack, lift, drop the tip, reel up to slack, that kind of sort of up and down motion. And a lot of times we get the strike, the tuna strikes when the jig's actually falling again. So you do your jig up and you let it drop, and that's where you get the hit. And, you know, you talk about having a train just sort of hit your lure and try to rip that rod right out of your hand. I mean, it's such a great thing. As a charter operator, you're so lucky to be out there. But, you know, one of my, you know, most favorite things is seeing the face of someone who's never done this before. And all of a sudden, you know, they go from, you know, sort of, you see, like, they got like a puss on their face as they're working their jigs, because after a while it gets a little tiring. So all of a sudden, rod's bent over and they're leaning back on it, and all of a sudden that puss becomes the widest smile as you can imagine. You know,
if they're not ready for it, they suddenly go falsetto, if you get my drift. I'm saying that for my benefit. Well, Cap, listen, you're in 65 pound braid range, 50, 65, 80. What's on these spinning reels? What are you using?
So we usually, because we're a charter operation, you know, our gear gets used a lot, and you know, we have different angling skill that come on our boat. We usually put 80-pound braid. We love the multicolored lines, like the, Depth Hunter.
Depth Hunter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Power Pro puts out, because, you know, every 25 feet, it's a different color. And, you know, that makes it relatively idiot-proof for people like me, because, you know, if I'm reading fish, if I'm in 240 feet of water and I'm reading fish, you know, 90 feet down, I can say, let's go, you know, drop the lures 125 feet down and work them up.
There you go.
So, you know, 125 feet. As you know, usually five color changes. So instead of someone having to, like, you know, manually strip out 2 feet at a time to figure out 125 feet, just send it down. And, you know, when you see five color changes, click the bail and start working your lure up.
Cap, fluoro leader?
Yes. We usually use a fluoro leader. Usually it's, you know, 80 pounds. You know, we usually like to use a super strong knot, like a PR knot or an FG knot, to get our braid to our top shot. Usually, you know, anywhere from about 8 to 12 feet of top shot. You know, people that have different opinions on longer or shorter, but it's nice. It's important to have that top shot, usually 80 pound. If fish are really finicky, sometimes we'll drop down to 60. You know, we certainly love using fluoro, as your readers, as your listeners know. Fluoro has a, you know, basically a better refractive index, and pretty much invisible.
Okay, Cap, we're up against a heartbreak. One more second. We're going to wrap it up with the pop. Wrap with the pop. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Captain Alan Lee. Mooshin! Tuna time.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, a new survey finds women stressed at work, yet mostly unwilling to discuss their mental health struggles. We'll examine the reasons why. Also, what's the problem with concerts these days? Besides Taylor Swift and Beyonce, many artists are canceling tours. Plus, should you ever not have a job? And the lockup in Brazil that uses geese as prison guards. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give.
It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for a family plan starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Here you go. Look out below our final round, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P, June 8th and 9th. Man, it's 6th turn of the calendar page. Just think, not that I'm rushing life, but wow, within 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whoa, the daylight starts getting shorter. The march towards hunting season begins. Oh, man, am I rushing life or what? Hey, Captain Al, I know you're a maniacal bird hunter. What do you think? Fall is coming.
Yeah, looking forward to pheasant hunting again.
Okay, Cal, listen to me, people. No ringneck or chucker is safe with this man in the fields or hedgerows. It just goes around. Where covers collide, Lee is there, the birds are down. Up and down they go. But now let's talk to, I love it, let's talk top on the pop, man.
Yeah.
Poppers, that's a wild action, like you said. Make your hair stand on end when these two are coming up and smashing poppers. But the one thing with the pop, you see them on the pegboards, all the different colors, all this. Fish is coming up from above. And some of these are so lifelike. I want to, like the one mackerel, I like to eat mackerel, people. I want to fillet and put it in the pan. Color patterns of lifelike stuff on the poppers, I'll make a difference, or is it more the motion? What do you got?
Yeah. Well, you know, popper fishing for tuna is the absolute most amazing thing.
The pinnacle, baby, the pinnacle is it.
Yeah. I don't care how many tuna you've caught. Anytime, every time that 60, 80-pound yellowfin comes up to the surface and opens up a hole on the top of the ocean, size of a Volkswagen, and, you know, your popper just gets inhaled, rod just laps over. It's a heart-stopping experience. And, again, it has to be the right conditions. You get into, you know, where there's an active feed of tuna. A lot of times it's a great time to switch over to the poppers, the long rods, the big spinning reels, throwing these poppers. Color is important, but, our favorite colors tend to be white. Some of our favorite poppers, the Mad Mantis, O Papa, Shimano has a couple out right now, the Orca.
Orca? I don't like Orca. The frostbite white, all the bone. Yeah, yeah, that seems to be eight out of 10. The popping game, that's what I'm seeing on these boats. Yep. That color, yeah.
And I'm sure you know from the tackle shops, once that tuna pop bite is going on, people are running in trying to find these poppers, and they can't find them because they've all been sold out. So because that it's such a popular popper, especially in our geographic area, we work with Mad Mantis, and we get our supply early on because we know once tuna season comes, those white O-Papas are, that's
good luck with good luck lures. Good luck finding those, man. Well, Al, listen, let me ask you this. We don't have much time left in the segment. Got to close it out, people, but tuna. We're going to get Captain Allen later with a recipe. That'll be another. But Al, is it like with freshwater bass fishing, not to be that rudimentary, but Pop, pop, let it settle, pop, pop. Or is it an aggressive pop for these tuna? Is it you're really working these poppers, or are there occasions where slower the better?
Well, it's all that. You're right. We lob it out there, and we're heaving these poppers as far as we can out there. Usually I like to let it sit there for 6, 8, 10 seconds when it first hits the water, pick up the extra slack. I usually like to open it up with a big giant smash, really dig that, exactly, yeah. Dig that tip down, because a lot of our popping comes off the foredeck of our boat. We run a flybridge sport fishing boat, so our foredeck's about 8 feet off the surface of the water. But, first pop is usually, try to keep the tip down and drive that face of that cup of that popper right into the water, get a nice big explosion, and then it's sort of a chug. You want to be throwing some water as you're chugging that popper back. But you definitely want to stop. You definitely want to stop. A lot of times the hits come when that lure is stopped. And it gives that tuna a chance to key in on it. you know, that tuna's mine, that bait is now struggling, you know, because it's not chugging anymore. It's stopped there, struggling. It's trying to get its breath. And that's when that tuna wants to strike it. But, you know, so what we'll also do is a lot of times we'll add a little twitch, you know, we'll stop that popper in the water and just, wow, you know, a light sort of, you know, 3-6-inch twitch with the tip of your rod gives it some vibration. You know, lateral lines in those tuners are picking up that signal that popper's in trouble, that bait's in trouble. And that's oftentimes something that's going to really get it to come in and strike, you know. Big trick with tuna popping, I always tell people, you know, it's a very visual sport. We want it to be a visual sport, but don't set the hook when you see the fish. You set the hook when the rod loads up, because tuna are coming up fast out of the depths. It's not unusual that a tuna will miss the first strike. And if you lean back and yank that popper out of the water and over your head because you tried to set that hook so hard, you just blew your opportunity to get that fish. A lot of times tuna will come back. If they miss it the first time, they're going to swim around and come back at it at a different angle. So, you know, as much as the urge, the impulse is to set the hook when you see that water open up with that fish on top, I tell people, don't set the hook until you feel that rod load up, because that's when you know that lure's in its mouth. And then after that, I always tell people, set the hook 10 times, because big poppers, they get stuck, you know, tuna grab onto them with those vice jaws. And what a lot of times it feels like you're hooked up, but what you really got is you got a tuna with a lure in its mouth, but the hooks haven't really set into its jaw yet. So don't be afraid, set those hooks, you know, and then you'll have the battle of your life.
Absolutely. Captain Alan Lee, thank you for joining us on Rack and Fin. Very informative program. Listen, it's tuna time. It's here any day. Within a week or so, Al, it's popping. You can feel the vibration there. It's palpable, the excitement at these shops. And some of the captains I talked to, they are raring to go. Games to be trips, Southern Canada, work their way north. Warm water, good water, as they say, is moving in. It's happening, Cap. It is happening. Don't be afraid of June. There's still, 3 weeks left. Get in early. Like you said, it's going to be tough finding them, but when you find them, you're going to be alone. There's not many people are out there. Got Manley, give that number for Mooshin, please, then I have to let you go.
All right, sure. Website, Mooshin, Mushin, sportfishing.com, Facebook, Instagram, just, you know, look it up and give me a shout if you want. Always happy to talk about fishing, get you out fishing.
Captain, we'll see you on the water this summer, man. You take care.
Tom, thanks for your time. Have a great season.
Rock and roll on a tuna, bro. Yeah, for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Hey, I'm going to be running all over Cape May County next week. I just love the Cape from where you cross into Ocean City down to Cape May Point, all points in between. Going to be stopping out at Utch's Marina there, 1121 New Jersey 109 in Cape May. You're down the Cape. You're fishing, boating, baiting, anything you need. It's all going to be at Utch's. And, we got the Peninsula County. I love my Sussex. I love the Gloucester. I love everything. But the Peninsula County, so many possibilities, especially now at this time of year. I'm stopping in the Utch's Tackle Shop, talking to the man, saying, what's up? Now I'm going to be a fishing fool for 5 days next week. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out there and enjoy. Tuna time is just about here. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio.